As we begin this study of People Smart in Ministry, I want to recognize one of my mentors, one of the founder leaders of Christian Leaders Institute. His name is Rich DeVos. He's been mentoring me since the early 1990s, and I've had many opportunities to see him in various occasions. And in these occasions, I saw a man who is people smart in a way that blesses others. Whether someone was a prominent leader or whether someone's job was to operate an elevator, he had that love, no favoritism. He brought each person the love of Christ, and I observed his people's skills. He wrote a book called The Positive Phrases for Positive People. And in the next two sessions, we're going to talk about those phrases, five in each of these presentations. So these two presentations are from Rich DeVos, a man God has used to change the world. Now, the first phrase that Rich DeVos says that is people smart, that God will bless in all your encounters, is the basic this phrase, I'm wrong. And that is hard to say. Rich writes, I choose to begin I'm wrong because it's the hardest of the phrases to say and genuinely mean. It's tough to admit when we're wrong, even to ourselves. It's harder still to say out loud, I'm wrong, especially to those who we care for most and want most to care about us. In Rich DeVos's book, 10 Powerful Phrases for Positive People, that first phrase he says that will change the world, especially your world and your ministry, is I'm wrong. You know, saying I'm wrong is very difficult because it must come from the heart. Saying I'm wrong is meaningless, Rich DeVos says, unless it comes from the heart, not just our lips. That often requires a genuine and profound change within ourselves because we need to accept that we can be wrong. Even if that admission hurts, we need to realize it's simply human nature and that everyone makes mistakes. We need to realize that we can have a positive impact on the lives of others when we admit to them that we are wrong. And when we admit to them that we are wrong, it's encouraging to others. Our outward expression of admitting wrong can serve as an example of our willingness to change and can inspire others to change in a positive way. A positive impact stems from our admission that we were wrong or our thinking was wrong. I'm wrong are two little words that can help improve our own positive attitude. It's all part of this shift in our decision to create a positive atmosphere instead of a negative one. If you're wrong, say so. I'll tell you, this is a hard order for many people. Many people were raised in homes where the father and mother were never wrong. In fact, they argued to the point to show that child that you never admit that you're wrong. So you're raised in that I'm never wrong atmosphere. And now you're an adult. And now you're into ministry training. And there's something that happens in people's lives. They somehow have to always be right. It's like hiding the bushes for Adam and Eve. They did not want to say to the Lord God, we're wrong. We should not have eaten of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but instead they continue. But for leaders, I'm wrong is the right thing for leaders to say. Admitting you're wrong is especially difficult for people in leadership positions. The leader is supposed to be the visionary, the bright one who covers all the angles and blazes the trails for those better equipped for following than leading. Unfortunately, even leaders at times have to admit they're wrong. I look back at my ministry in 30 years, and some of those turning points were when I said to my leaders, to people even in my church. You know, I was wrong about that. I thought that that would really work for bringing more people in. You know, I was wrong. Do we learn anything about this? Let's see, what does God have even if we're wrong? It is the right thing for leaders to say. For teamwork, I'm wrong is the best for teamwork. This type of situation poses the problem. Preserve your pride by covering yourself and not admitting oversight, or simply say, you're right, I'm wrong. Somehow, I missed that. The ability to admit we're wrong allows you to correct mistakes and work together towards solutions. Admitting you are wrong creates opportunity to learn from mistakes and to take advantage of another person's point of view. I had not shown respect to my employees by seeking their opinions. See, even Rich was one who he can look at his life and he can look back and he sees in his whole business atmosphere that how many times did he not show respect by seeking their opinions. But you can't really understand their opinions unless you're able to say, I'm wrong. The fact is I'm wrong is a sign of maturity. When we're young and trying to establish ourselves, we fear making mistakes. The reality is admitting to mistakes is liberating for ourselves and others and is a mark of maturity. Our admission is a sign of strength, and we can be humble and aren't too big to admit that when we are wrong. People appreciate humility. Nobody likes a know-it-all. So, as we think about being a Christian leader and think about people smart, the first thing is to know that we might be wrong, and that's okay, but then to admit it. The fact is I'm wrong brings healing. Saying I'm wrong is also the beginning of a healing process. The first inclination of a child caught with the hand in the cookie jar is to deny, defend, rationalize, make excuses. Just like the child, our first inclination is to ferociously deny our position, furiously defend our position, rather than admit to someone or ourselves that we are wrong. Denial and rationalization are hard and fruitless work. We grow only when we place greater importance on healing a relationship than defending our position. This is a sobering place to be. What does God have in mind? What is noble? What is true? Are we thinking about those things? And when we're wrong, let it be something we're willing to share. The fact is, if we can say, I'm wrong, the fact is, you are strong. Wrongs are inevitable, and denying their existence only creates arrogance and strife. We are not perfect, nor are we intended to be. Perfectionists face the need to be perfect all in all they do. Whoever can live up to such a standard, laugh at a wrong. Laugh at yourself. Your ego will only take you so far, but your integrity and humility will carry you through to success. That is what Rich DeVos has said. Do you know, it's fascinating. I've worked with him and even at Christian Leaders Institute for, you know, decades now, since the early 90s. And you know what I learned is that we'll talk about something, and even though he has been blessed with wealth and leadership and philanthropy, and he has been someone who's out there, I've heard him say, I'm wrong. We'll be in discussions, and he'll have one opinion, and then we'll be discussing like complicated things about the nature of free ministry training, and should it be free? What about the fee structure? What about the free structure? And so forth. And we'll all go back and forth. And that was a complicated perspective on how to kind of break through some of the ways it had been done and to have other ways. And there were lots of decisions, and he was on our board in terms of an active administrative member. Now he has been on our legacy board. But in all of those discussions, I always saw his ability to say, I might be wrong about that. that was such a blessing to me that he would allow me to interact. And then our other board members, when we're right or wrong, and there's a transparency. And in your leadership and in your people smart, saying I'm wrong is very important. It is people smart. I'm wrong is a powerful phrase for positive people because it can wash away the pain of a strained relationship, move negativity, negotiation forward, end an argument, start a healing process, even turn enemies into friends. It can be a risk for most people. Admitting you're wrong can be a threat to your authority, credibility, and stature. But most things worth having in life require risk. The next very important phrase that Rich DeVos talks about in his 10 powerful phrases for people, positive people, is the phrase, I'm sorry. Along with saying I'm wrong, we have to be sorry for it. By being wrong, we may have hurt someone in the process. So our admission must be more than something technical or mechanical. Simply saying to the other person was right and we're wrong, you know, that's what you can do. That could be the mechanical phrase. But when we wronged someone, that person is going to respond to us and spill some anger. We have to let him or her know that we are sincerely sorry for what we did. It's so easy to try to defend our position, but it's amazing how many problems disappear once we decide to say we're sorry. So to say we're wrong is one thing, but to say, especially when that wrong was an offense and taken as an offense. Now, in the world of people smart, this is very important because people take offense and they take offenses at different things. And if we offended someone, to be able to say we're wrong and then to move into I'm sorry is very important. I'm wrong and I'm sorry are companions. I'm wrong and I'm sorry are healing. They're really healing words for your apologies. I'm sorry is a tag for I'm wrong, but it's also separate. And like I'm wrong, it's a phrase that can be learned and difficult to say. So in other words, when you've offended someone, say I'm wrong and I'm sorry. And I would even say to go on to what are you wrong for and what are you sorry about? I'm sorry is rare. Defending position using words to cover up rather than to enlighten, blaming the other guy and shirking responsibility can occur when we choose a negative course instead of making a decision to be positive. This behavior perpetuates a slide toward a negative society. I'm sorry is so rare nowadays. I'm sorry maintains relationships. The ability to say I'm sorry shows that we are able to see the other person's point of view, that we want to maintain a relationship, and that we are not too big to reach out and to see the good in others. An apology is a conscious decision we reach when we have the empathy for the feelings of others. Instead of thinking about the apology only from the point of view as an admission of our wrongdoing, we consider how our apology will benefit the person we have wronged and actually have a positive impact on his or her life. To say I'm wrong and not say I'm sorry could leave unfinished business, but to say I'm wrong for saying those words that hurt you and I'm sorry that I said them because those words were offensive to you and those words cut you down and I am sorry, please forgive me. See, notice the I'm sorry maintains the relationship. You could be wrong. Yeah, we all know we're wrong. But take that next step. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for past hurts. We do to admit to ourselves as well as others when we are sorry for past mistakes or errors in judgment, when we have regrets for failing to seize an opportunity or for doing less than we might have done. I know for myself that, you know, I have children, and every parent has this. As the children grow up, certain things were taken as offense. And recently I talked to one of my children, and there was something from the past that I needed to say I was wrong. But in doing this class, I realized it wasn't just enough to say I'm wrong, but I also went on to say I'm sorry. I said what I was wrong about and what I was sorry for. And that person was talking to me, that child, and that child came forward and really indicated how much it meant to that child that I said that. So it's just not I'm wrong, but also I'm sorry. The ability to apologize required seeing a situation from another person's point of view. That means taking an interest in people, even in those who may be nothing like us. I've been called a people person. Being a people person simply means you like people. Try to understand them. Show an interest. Try to see things from their point of view. You cannot sincerely say you are sorry or express empathy without understanding other people and their situations. So in this class of People Smart for Ministry, we have to have that love of people. There, remember, that's God's crown of creation. On the sixth day, he made man and woman. So to say I'm sorry is something so honorable in being people smart. The next phrase that Rich DeVos talks about is an encouraging phrase, you can do it. A student asked me at a college banquet, Rich writes recently, what's the most important thing a young person like me should know? And I said to her, you need to develop a philosophy of you can do it. Whatever you want to do, you can do it. She seemed surprised. Maybe no one had ever told her this before, and I was so grateful for the opportunity to try to have a positive influence on a young person. A people smart place to be is to be a person who says, you can do it. To be able to notice the unique gifts and the calling and the traits that people have. And as a pastor and a leader, that you can do it, pastor, is one who people want to listen to. Now, I will say this. You can do this in the Lord. And we add that little phrase as pastors and leaders. But what we're essentially saying is that God made you as his image bearer. You have a calling and a gift. And we want to be on the team that supports you. In this section of the book, Rich DeVos talks about the three A's. And he says they're action, attitude, and atmosphere. We all want to take action, but our actions stem from a positive attitude. And a positive attitude is developed when we are in or choose to put ourselves in the right atmosphere. The fact of the matter is, if we're in the wrong atmosphere, even our great intentions can be taken down. I'll give you some examples of that. Let's say we feel strongly that we are called to plant a church. The Lord called us to that. Well, to plant a church takes a positive attitude because there are going to be very negative things. But even when we do that, we choose the atmosphere. If we surround ourselves with critical or negative people that say you can't do it, or, you know, divisive people where they're dividing and separating, that atmosphere will bring down that calling you feel in your heart. You can do it is a very important phrase. As parents, we need to create that positive atmosphere in our homes. We need to encourage our children so they can do anything they set their mind to, anything they set their mind to do, and that God will bless them and keep his hand upon them. We need to teach our children to trust in God and trust in themselves as a creature of God, believing that God gave them great ability and talents to make a difference in this world. You can do it is a powerful, positive phrase. We need to also develop a can-do attitude among all people. We have all dealt with people who obviously don't have the can-do attitude, who are always negative, always complaining. Being a can-do person has greater ramifications. We have great opportunity to be positive people who encourage others to be can-do people. Our positive attitudes can be vital in protecting a climate of opportunity in which our children and grandchildren can achieve great things. These are the things that, as people smart, when they look at us, do they see in us that can-do attitude? You can do it. And then start doing it. You'll never discover how far you can go if you don't start doing it. Otherwise, you limit your whole life and will always have regrets, thinking, I wish I had tried that. When you develop a can-do attitude, it all happens. And the Lord then supplies you and gives you your answers. You weigh obstacles honestly. You consider them as just something to overcome instead of a reason to do nothing. Many of you are called into ministry, and you are here at Christian Leaders Institute to get this training. And I believe you can do what God has called you to do. I really do. That is why I have been part of putting this training free online, because I know you can do it in the Lord. I know that. And there may be things you say, I don't know. I've had this background. Well, whatever your issue in the background, give it to God. Get over that issue. I have this bitterness. I don't know if I can let go of this bitterness. You can do it. You can give it to God in prayer. You can be healed. You know, every time I come into the room, I just have a chip on my shoulder. You know what? By God's grace, His power, you can do it. You can be healed. Start doing it. Believe the Lord has a plan. Too many people never try to do anything because they're afraid. Afraid of failure. That someone might criticize them or laugh at them. So they don't have enough training or they don't have enough training or expertise. To them I say, set a goal and go for it. You can do it. You're getting this training, this ministry training. And as you get this ministry training and you develop, God has a plan, and believe that the Lord has a plan for your life. The next powerful phrase is, I believe in you. Whoa, I believe in another person? Yes. We see that all over the Bible. We see the encouragements of Paul to Timothy. And those encouragements are, I trust that God has a plan for your life and your calling. And I believe in you is this winsome, people smart principle foundation that we live in all our relationships. I believe in you is a more powerful phrase than you can do it. A belief in someone is really an extension of the phrase, you can do it. We typically say, I believe in you and our family and close friends, but we need not always say the words. We can demonstrate, I believe in you, through our actions. Sometimes simply our presence at an event or support or a cause says, I believe in you. So there's many ways I believe in you manifests itself in being people smart. I believe in you changes lives. We all have a tendency for self-doubt. And that tendency can be reinforced by naysayers. Too many people accomplish little more than a list of regrets because they doubted rather than believed, because they decided to listen to the negative opinions of others rather than try for themselves. These people could have used a powerful boost by hearing the phrase, I believe in you. Be a person, be a Christian leader that has that kind of a presence that when you see what God is doing, say, I believe in you. Our children need to hear that we believe in them. Our children are most in need of hearing, I believe in you. Advising and mentoring our children sends the message that we believe in them. Even a simple act such as helping them with their homework is a gesture of believing in them. When my kids brought home report cards, my wife and I never jumped all over them about a low grade. We discussed why the grade might have dropped and how it might be improved. We showed that we believed that they could do better and encouraged them always to do their best. We offered constant reinforcement interactions and words. You can do it. We believe in you. Again, these are like companion phrases, just like, I was wrong. I'm sorry. This is, you can do it. We believe in you. You know, pastors who have that I believe in you attitude help people in their congregations take that next step to dream dreams they never dreamed. You know, it's fascinating. Our money even says, I believe in you. We show people we believe in them when we support their endeavors or causes. People who create and build on those who believe in themselves, but they need the support of believers to fire their enthusiasm and passions, especially in the face of naysayers and doubters. I know that is so true when you students and graduates give to Christian Leaders Institute. We have received donations from people, foundations, churches all over. And every one of them is a powerful, hey, we believe in this ministry of free, high-quality ministry training worldwide. But I'll tell you, when you graduates and students give, it means so much to me. You know what I do? I look over the names of those who give to Christian Leaders Institute. Not because I even know you that well, because we have so many, I don't know you all. But I look over the names and I read them. And every time I read a name, I see you saying to me, Henry, I believe in you. I believe in what you're doing for online ministry training. So as you give, I want you to know I thank you in the Lord. And I receive from you a message that you believe in me. And you know what? That means so much to me. Leaders need to help others believe more. The ability to create an atmosphere of belief is a skill we need in our leaders today. As I've said, learning to be positive and learning to use positive phrases is especially important for leaders. We need more leaders who can express what they believe and impart their beliefs to others who will join them. So, people smart is about believing in others. Believe, by the way, equals trying and doing. When we talk about believing, we need to mention the need to try. We never know what can be accomplished until we test our belief by trying. Most of what I've tried in life worked because I believed in it and committed myself to try it. So belief is about trying and doing. The next powerful phrase in being people smart and being a positive person, as Rich DeVos talks about, is, I'm proud of you. Our desire as children expressed in watch me remains with us for a lifetime. A human need to be recognized and acknowledged by those who mean the most to us. Simply put, we want to feel that they are proud of us. We long for recognition in all our lives. We work hard to earn the right to be proud of ourselves. As wonderful as it is to take pride in our accomplishments, the power of that feeling is multiplied manyfold when others go out of their way to announce to us, I'm proud of you. Now, let me talk about this a little bit. In Christian circles, we often feel like, should we say we're proud of someone? Maybe they'll get a puffed up head and become arrogant. So we don't really want to say or express that we're proud of them. Now, I want to be very careful about being accurate to Scripture. Pride is something, an arrogant heart is something that somebody has. Like, for instance, if I say, I'm proud of myself. Now, on one sense, you could, as Paul talks about, that he takes joy in Christ in his work. And there's a humble way to be, in a sense, take pride in our ministry for Christ. Okay? But there's something else. As humans, we need the affirmation and recognition. So when others say that they're proud of us, that is something that's really, really encouraging. If I'm proud of a proud person and they take it that way, they're proud anyway. But if I'm proud, if I encourage a humble person, that doesn't make them proud. It makes them encouraged that they see that somebody notices them. It's like passages in the Bible, such as in the book of Philippians. Take note of those who live according to the pattern that we gave you from Philippians 4. So when we say, I'm proud of you, it is something that can be a blessing for people. It brings up this question, are we recognizers? Behind a lot of hard work is a simple desire to be recognized as the best in our profession, Rich writes, could be our calling or could be anything we set our heart to be giving a more impressive job title, to win an award, to see our name in the paper. Everyone appreciates a pat on the back, an attaboy, or you go girl. Are we recognized? Are we seen in our people smart lifestyle, those accomplishments, those good things that people are doing in their community, in their family, in their Christian leadership? Are we recognizers of those who achieve less? I find that I'm proud of you is especially uplifting for people who typically don't win the award or the rewards of life, who may doubt their abilities, who have a tough time finding something to be proud about. That's why it's doubly important for parents and teachers and employers to find ways to say, I'm proud of you. The fact of the matter is God puts people in your life as a Christian leader that have many tough times. And we can be the noticer. You know, one of the things I did for years and years as a pastor is I took a camera. And now in the world of the smartphones, you can get your little smartphone out and take a quick picture. Now, if you're in a Western country and you have a website, what I would do is I would upload these pictures to like Facebook or things like that. But I always uploaded them to be able to say to the people, I'm proud of you. I noticed what you did. What you did was very important. I remember so many of the young people whose life was steered in a positive direction for the Lord because I said, I'm proud of you, or I recognized who they are. The bottom line is the attitude of an encourager is one of, I'm proud of you. Rich said, I want to be a cheerleader in life, because we unfortunately already have our fair share of people who go the opposite direction, tearing down instead of building up. This is people smart in ministry, to have the attitude of an encourager. To recognize then is this, I'm proud of you, is to respect. I don't believe anyone is just a mechanic or just a salesman or a trash hauler or just anything. We are all human beings with dignity, made in the image of God Himself, using our talents He has given us to contribute to society in our own special way. Respect is the key. And with that respect, we say, I'm proud of you, to anyone for a job well done. You know, in these powerful phrases are pillars for a people smart personality. As we go through these powerful phrases, I invite you to write them down. Look at all of them and find out the personal applications in your life. And if you do not have these applications in your life, to really ask yourself, God, help me to be a positive person in my people smart. And as I take the rest of this class, that I am positive, that I can learn how to grow in my ability to lift up others and to love others as God has placed them in our lives.